Shalom. This is Billy Brailman, the voice of One Witness Radio, broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we've been looking at Bible prophecy, and we're going to continue to look at Bible prophecy. Bless the Lord today. A little bit different take on it. We've been saying that Israel is God's time clock, and that you have to watch Israel, Jesus said, to know when he's going to set up his kingdom up on the earth. And so we read from Luke 21, and he spoke to them, verse 29, watch the fig tree. Because they had asked him, when are you going to come and set up your kingdom? He said, watch the fig tree. That's Israel. We know that from Joel 1, 6 and 7. And watch all the trees. Those are the other trees of Bible prophecy. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And I'm going to read to you now from the New English Bible, Oxford, Cambridge. When you see all this happening, you may know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, this present generation will live to see it all. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words shall never pass away. Bless the Lord. And then going on down to the King James, verse 36 in chapter 21, it says, watch you therefore and pray always. Now here's the way the New English Bible translates it. Be on the alert, praying at all times. That's what we're to do. We're to keep our eyes open. I watch the things that are happening in this earth in the light of Bible prophecy, and I am praying. It's very, very important that you realize that God needs you to pray. We're here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We have prayer here every Sunday, 3 o'clock of the afternoon. Wednesdays at noon, we stream prayer live, and we have thousands of people joining us from 61 plus nations all around the earth praying concerning these last days. We've just added another prayer meeting. They're praying now on Tuesdays at 10, I believe. And so we now have prayer 3 days a week. Well, prayer is every day out here at Prayer Mountain. And we have these, of course, these cabins where people come and pray all the time, and people drop by and pray. And our staff prays on Mondays, so we're just praying all the time. But three different times that people are invited to come are Sundays at 3, 12 noon Wednesdays, and 10 o'clock Tuesdays. Prayer. Remember now what it said? This is what they translated it in the New English Bible, be on the alert, praying at all times. I'm going to read to you now from E.M. Bounds' book, E.M. Bounds on Prayer. And this is they gathered together, Whitaker House has published this book, and gathered together a lot of his lessons on prayer. Several books. Book one, Purpose in Prayer. Book two, The Necessity of Prayer. And on, E.M. Bounds, great teacher. But in this chapter, I want to read you these. The force that shapes the world. Now, considering that it's the last days, the end times, listen to what E.M. Bounds wrote. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock in heaven by which Christ carries on his great work upon the earth. Great throes and mighty convulsions in the world have come about as a result of these prayers. The earth is changed, revolutionized. Angels move on more powerful, more rapid wings, and God's policy is shaped when the prayers of his people are more numerous and more efficient. So God told us, now you keep on the alert when you're living in the last days, and you be praying at all times. E.M. Bounds points out that God carries on his great work on the earth through prayer. Remember that John Wesley said, it seems that God can do nothing on the earth except that men ask him. And Brother Hagin taught us that reason why is because we have the authority on the earth. Now listen, I'm going to read you these again, what E.M. Bounds said. Angels move on more powerful, more rapid wings, and God's policy is shaped when the prayers of his people are more numerous and more efficient. Folks, when we pray, angels literally are waiting for your prayers to go out and do what God wants done on this earth. E.M. Bounds writes, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against evil everywhere. The very life and prosperity of God's cause, even its very existence, depends on prayer. And the advance and triumph of His cause depends on one thing, that we ask Him. Prayer puts God in full force in the world. The prayers of God's saints strengthen the unborn generation against the desolating waves of sin and evil. Prayer is God's settled and singular condition to move ahead His Son's kingdom. Therefore, the believer who is the most highly skilled in prayer will do the most for God. Men are to pray for the advance of God's cause. And the secret of success in Christ's kingdom is the ability to pray. Now, he's talking about this world, the things that are going on right now. We are told in Luke, you be on the alert and you pray. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to take you to 1 John. 1 John, you see, I see so plainly that we are in a partnership with God. And in 1 John, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because it's written to believers, written to Christians, and it tells us that we are in a partnership with God. It calls it a fellowship. But now when we get down there, I'll explain that to you. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, talking about Jesus. The apostles saw him, they touched him, they heard him. For the life was manifested, and we've seen him, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, reading King James, 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. I, John, the other apostles, the ones who walked with him, the ones that talked with him, the ones that touched him, he had a message, and we are to declare it to you. It's going to be for a reason. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that, this little word in the Greek means in order that. We're going to tell you what Jesus said for a purpose. God's a God of purpose. In order that you also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship. Now I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. And I think when you consider the Amplified Bible, please do know how to read it. Most people know that in the King James Bible, the italicized words are not in the original. So sometimes they help us and sometimes they hinder us. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it's different. It's going to use parentheses and it's going to use brackets. In the Amplified Translation of the Bible, whatever is in parentheses, the original text supports it. Whatever is in brackets, the original text does not support it, but the translators have added it to help us. And again, sometimes it helps us, and sometimes it does not. So I'm going to read to you from 1 John 1:3, which says in the King James, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you in order that you may have fellowship with us. 1 John 1:3, Amplified. What we have seen and heard, we are also telling you, so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. None of that is in parentheses, and none of that is in brackets. The original text supports this definition of fellowship. Fellowship as partners and partakers. On earth, businesses have partners. And those partakers in the business get to take those partners in the business get to partake of the profits. So he's telling you, he's offering to you and to me as believers, as Christians, I'm telling you what Jesus said. I'm telling you the message he said so that you can be a partner with God. You can be in fellowship with God. You can be a partner with God and you can partake of the prophets. So we're telling you this, that we've seen and heard, we're telling you so that you may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You and I, born again believers, new creations, are in fellowship. We're working with God. That's why we have to pray on the earth like we just read about by Ian Bounds. We're fellowship in this business. We're partners in this business. God needs us to pray and say what He wants to bring to pass in this last day. And oh, how I do love verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. I think there should be a trumpet introduction here. Dun, 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 dun. Here's the message. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. To work with God, you need to know that He's light. You need to know that the cancer didn't come from Him. Cancers are dark. In order to work in healing, in order to work in everything, you have to know that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. Now, verse 6, if we say, we Christians, if we say we have fellowship, now let's add what it means. If we say, I'm reading it from the Amplified, we are partakers together and enjoying fellowship with Him. When we are living and moving and walking around in darkness, we're speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth. Okay, it's not talking about relationship. He's writing to Christians, sons of God, but maybe just a little baby Christian, and they're out there in darkness. And he said, if you're doing that, if you're walking out there in darkness and you're saying, oh, I'm enjoying fellowship as partner and partaker with God, he says, you're not telling the truth. But there are those, verse 7, who walk in the light as He is in the light, and they are having fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing them from all sin. If I walk in the light as He's in the light, I can enjoy this fellowship as a partner and a partaker. And the blood is cleansing me at all times. Now, verse 8 goes back to the guy in verse 6. The guy in verse 6 who claims to be in full fellowship with God, claims to be enjoying partnership, his partnership. If that person says, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But, hallelujah, verse 9, even if you got to there, it doesn't say this guy's relationship is broken, his partnership, his fellowship is not in good order. But there's an answer for him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're not in the very best fellowship with God and you are born again, just go to Him on 1 John 1:9 and get it right. Shalom, shalom.